Hi, everybody. This is Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles. And in a minute, you're going to see me on a visit that I paid to Fort Basinger Cemetery in Central Florida. And even though I speak a little bit about it, I just wanted to give you a little bit of background on that area and basically what happened with when this was established, which I do make mention of it in the video, is that it was built in 1837 during the Seminole Wars, and it's about 17 miles above the mouth of the Kissimmee River. Okay, and originally it started as a small stockade, and it served as a temporary fort and supply station to all the forts extending from like Tampa to Lake Okeechobee. And it was named for a Lieutenant William E. Basinger of the 2nd Artillery, who was killed in Dade's Massacre. And like a lot of the forts in that area, it was abandoned at the end of the Indian Wars. And post-Civil War, this is when a lot of settlers moved into the area, even though there were still some around there, but as far as making them into actual towns, just not a fort, it was post-Civil War. And you're going to see there's some slides that I'm showing, some of the activity that was going on in Fort Basinger, such as that they had a steamboat. They had everything was tied into, of course, their proximity to the Kissimmee River. And you're going to see me as I go through the cemetery that was established for the inhabitants of that area. And I wanted to go also and apologize ahead of time, because you're going to see that at one point I mysteriously start to sniffle and sniffle and sniffle, like I got a case of allergy, and just as suddenly it disappeared, which I thought about it afterwards. And I usually, if I get an allergy attack, that's it, I've got it. It doesn't go away within a few minutes. But again, I wanted to go ahead and apologize for all the sniffling I did in the middle of this video. But you're going to see there's a lot of interesting stuff that goes on with my visit there to the final resting place of a lot of these hardy people that established and persevered, even though eventually the town just faded away, and that's why it's considered a ghost town right now in Central Florida. I hope you enjoy this. Hi, everybody. It's Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles: Stories of the Supernatural. And as I promised, I'm doing a cemetery run. And one of the places that I stopped at is a little town here called Fort Basinger. This is the cemetery for Fort Basinger, and the town kind of like became a ghost town. I mean, there's still people that live out here. There's a farming community, a lot of cattle, but from what I understand, it was really, before the railroad and, automobiles came through. As a matter of fact, they used to have a steamboat out in the Kissimmee River, and it was doing really well as far as the town was concerned. It had a hotel and everything. But once, like about by the 1920s, when the railroad came through and it bypassed Fort Basinger and went on to Okeechobee, it kind of spelled the end of the town itself, which had been established as a fort, like a lot of these places around here. And it was named for a lieutenant that had been killed in the Dade War, as in reference to Dade County, where Miami is situated out of. But anyway, like a lot of these small towns, people usually came. And hold on a minute. Let me get this. A lot of the darn it. Let's see if we can get some EVPs or some mini ovulus stuff going. But anyway, a lot of these towns or these settlements were established by people like right after the Civil War. And they came out here, and it was pretty remote. And most of them, even though there was agricultural, they worked a lot with like the cattle. Cattle was the main business out here, and all these little settlements, and that's, where you get the term the cracker cowboys, because they used to use these long whips, and when they whipped them and they cracked, that's basically how they drove their cattle. So a lot of in Florida and in Georgia, where you hear that term cracker, that's where it comes from the cracker cowboys.
that used to work all these cattle in all these areas, especially Central Florida, even though they would take them all over the place to, you know, to sell them, you know, just like they do out west where they would herd these cattle, like in the Chisholm Trail, you know, that they would take them up through Texas to go to along the Chisholm Trail, like to Oklahoma and Kansas and Abilene, so that they could load them on the trains and, you know, take them out to the stockyards in all the major cities. Well, over here they would kind of do the same thing as far as driving them. So anyway, I'm here, ankle. That's my first word. I'm here at the cemetery, okay, and ankle. Okay, let's see. Usually sometimes things come up, and in my experience, when you get something like this, like a body part, it usually indicates the person that's trying to communicate that obviously there was a problem with their ankle. More than likely, you never get something because their ankle felt good. Usually because it was either a trauma on their body, they got hurt, they fell down. But let's see if we get something else along those lines. But anyway, even now there's people that still live out here. So you see a lot of the graves are recent. Okay, but I'm going to walk back a little bit this way. And I'm facing you guys so that you guys, well, now you should be able to hear me because I've got a handy dandy little microphone here, because before, if I turned away, that's it. My voice would be gone and you couldn't hear what I was saying. So anyway, and it's kind of difficult sometimes to walk backwards. But yeah, over here, there's a lot of really nice newer graves. And as you could tell, like some of these over here, you know, people, like the family members, they decorate them. And you could just tell by the gravestone that they're modern. And when I say modern, I mean recent years. Okay. And in some cases you get what they, you know, these family plots where, you know, they kind of like, section off, you know, this area. And, you know, here again, yeah, see, these are Lena Lee. Yeah, apparently this is the Hazlett or Hazleaf families. You know, they've got they're burying their families there. Okay. And like a lot of these cemeteries out here in Central Florida, you've got a lot of Spanish moss on the trees, which makes, I consider it very pretty, but very atmospheric. And like I've commented before, coming out here at night must be really scary just because of the way the trees look. But that's just my imagination, but yeah. So let's see if we can find some of the older graves. Okay. And let's see. Yeah, this is from, I can't tell what the last name is, but this person passed away in September of 1926 and born in 1923. So this is a child, maybe a little bit over 3 years old. So we're looking at, this is a child's grave. And these right here, last name of Clements, this was from 1950. And as you could see, you know, these headstones that are totally flat, like this one, they're the ones that do the worst. They don't do well with the weather, because I guess they get the constant, you know, rain and everything, and they fade away pretty quick, especially when it's carved just on regular stone. Over here, let me see, I don't know if this is a little bit fenced off area. I don't know if this is for a certain family or if this is just an old section. No, yeah, this looks like it's for the Martin family. And because we've got both Martins here, and we've got another one here for Mopes Williams, 1944. Shower. You know what? I always come into these cemeteries, sometimes I get the funkiest words on the ovulus. You know, didn't I get the same thing in the other time? Shower. As a matter of fact, I about maybe a couple of months ago, I went to Fort Drum. Very similar cemetery to this one. Very similar to this. Okay. And I got the same word, shower. It was like, it's like, what do you do with that? Okay, you know what? I'm going to go down the road, even though I think of it as a modern term, you know, maybe somebody that wanted to take a shower. I hope they're not telling me I need a shower because I sure don't. But anyway, let's see. Let's see what else we could find as far as an older sites. You know, and I think what's really interesting is in particular I look for the older sites, and those are cows back there. We got a lot of calves and cows around here. Is that a lot of times this is where you get the grave sites for the founders or the first settlers of the area, the families. These, you know, I tell you, some brave souls, because they were the ones that put up with heat, mosquitoes, disease, a lot of challenging circumstances, and they stuck it out. Let's see. God, this is really bad. Last name, something Dallas, born in 1889, died 1907. Again, really difficult to make out. Got a lot of dragonflies. Let's see. All right, let's see. Come on, let's go over here, Henry. This looks like this might be the older section. As you could tell, a lot of these tombstones, these are the ones that are leaning. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, you got to give me something better than shower and ankle. Let's see. Madeline Wald something. Gone but not forgotten. Died 1926. Born 19 something. Whoever this was. Is a young person, and it was that you could tell was engraved by hand. You know, in other words, they poured the cement into that shape or something, and it wasn't even etched. But believe it or not, like I said, even though this was quite a while back, the fact that it's upright like that, you can actually still read what the gravestone was etched with. This one, same thing. All they were able to do was an M and a W. Okay, that's all they were able to get. There's nothing else there. And you know what? Sometimes this is the best the families could do, you know, because even back then, even though we might think, well, the cost of the headstone was not that much in comparison to the income or the economy at those times, yeah, sometimes it was a lot. Let's see. This one is, mother. She passed away in, what was it? July of 1940, it looks like. Last name of Sloan. Maggie Sloan? Yeah. Okay. born 31, died. This might be a child's grave because, again, that one looks like it's hand-carved. Okay, this looks like here, you know, here we have another Sloan, so maybe they, okay, this looks like these are Sloan children that died. This one, Reba, died within 7 days. Cecil, 1920, looks like he died. This is another one, Merle Reeves, died when he was a little bit over 2 years old. Possibly they were the same family, at least these two Sloans. These were children that died very young. Let's see. And same thing here. This is a child, Lofton, born November 1903, died April of 1905. Yeah, that one, that's whatever that was, that's gone. That memorial is, that can't be seen anymore. And it's unfortunate, especially these small ones. Okay, yeah, this is definitely the older section. We've got Annie Willingham.
Racism.
Wow. You know what? Racism. That's really interesting. The reason why I say that is that one of the things you find out when you do these cemetery walkthroughs, you know, besides getting feedback from the obelisk, is that especially, you know, these older burials, there was a lot of segregation between the races. And I mean, everybody, if you were a prostitute, if you were an undesirable, if you lived on the fringes of society, you were not either allowed to be buried in that cemetery. Kiss. Okay. Or kiss. Okay. Let's see what happens with that. Or you were designated like in the far off corner behind the weeds, behind the, that's where they would let you get buried. Okay. So that racism, you know, I could see where that might play, especially here. We're standing in this older part, you know, of the cemetery, where we're looking at somebody that passed away. She died in 1901, born in 1815, okay, and she died April of 1901, which, by the way, for those times, she lived a good long life. She was, what, almost 86 years old, okay? So, yeah. But, yeah, that's one of the things that around those times, there was segregation even amongst the burials. And what, and again, I want to repeat, when I say segregation, I'm not only talking, we're not talking along racial lines. We're talking about if you were seen as somebody that was not, you know, you did bad things, you know, unless you were a famous outlaw, like let's say a Jesse James, which you were doing bad things, but you were admired by the common people, you'd be a good. But otherwise, you were lucky if you would be allowed to get buried in the regular churchyard along with other people. And as a matter of fact, that's, every once in a while I do research because I do try to find these unofficial graveyards, which is where they would bury people like this that they would not allow in the regular cemetery because they had to bury them somewhere. And those places are very interesting in and of themselves. And a lot of them, sometimes they just go by the wayside and nobody ever finds them because nobody upkeeps them. A lot of times they never got a headstone. If they did, it was wooden. And it was a while back. We're talking here maybe 80, 100 years ago. You know, that's it. They're gone. They're, and a lot of times they've even been, every once in a while, I'm sure people will hear on the news where, you know, they are digging up some patch of land to put a highway or a road through and they discover a bunch of dead bodies, you know, like graves. And that's what it was. It's just graveyards that were for people that weren't allowed in the regular graveyard, the regular cemetery. James Smith, 1895. Oh, God. Okay. Rachel Underhill Walker, born 1867. Maureen. Okay, now, it disappeared already. Maureen. M-A-U-R-I-N-E. My name is Marlene. Okay? And it's not Maureen like as in the regular hallway. Okay, I'm getting close to somebody. All this Maureen, not the M-A-U-R-E-E-N, M-A-U-R-I-N-E. That's a very unusual spelling. She, by the way, a lot of people have asked me when they see the star, and a lot of people look at it as the pentagram. Believe it or not, that's the Eastern Star, okay? A lot of the female Masons, which belong to the Order of the Eastern Star, this is what that looked like. And people make the mistake of when they see that engraved on the headstones, they think it's flat. A flat. Okay, they don't realize what it is, but yeah, that's the Eastern Star. That's a female. That lady was belonged to a female version of the Mason Order, you know, which most people always think of as only men. I need to see this. This has got an iron cross. Jeremiah Walker. He was a private company, Florida Cavalry, Confederate States Army. Born in 1838, died in 1913. So most definitely he would have been 30-something years old when the Civil War broke out. And he was in Florida and he served. He was in the Confederate. Born June 20th, 19... Yeah, he most definitely served in the Confederate Army. Oh, man. Let's see. As you could tell, some of these gravestones, they've been fixed. Look at this one. You could tell that at some point it kind of was cracked and fell apart. And somebody came and took the trouble to, like, fix it. That's pretty cool. It's pretty nice. And some of these old ones, like this one, look at it. It's got that broken glass top. I think that's beautiful. She passed away in 1945, but you look at that headstone, and that looks pretty new. So I guess the family is going ahead and restoring some of these old graves. That's nice. Okay, you see a lot of the Confederate flags, which leads me to believe that those were people that, men, that served in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. Let me see, this is Henry Morgan, born 1859, died 1897. Okay, and not an old man at all. Not an old man at all. And as you could tell, this is almost like a cairn thing. Like, they didn't actually open the hole. I guess they just put the actual coffin in there. Same thing with this one. Excuse me. I don't know, for some reason my allergy just kicked in really, really bad right now. And this is Virginia Morgan, December 18th of 1869, past January of 1936, a devoted wife and loving mother. Okay. So, yeah, here we definitely have people that passed away. But still, see, we've got somebody here from, passed away from 04 in 2004, but maybe her family was buried out here, even people from way back. They got buried out here. Let's see. Wait a minute, be careful with that. Don't trip over that. Yeah, you still got some newer ones out here. Which, by the way, this is nice. It's under the shade of the trees. But 1969. Yeah. Yeah, you've got all those cicadas going off. Very peaceful, very welcomed cemetery, by the way, which is nice, you know. And getting back to those unofficial graveyards, you know, everybody's heard, you know, like how they would have the if you were a suicide, you know, criminals at the crossroads. And the reason why I say that is that a lot of those are intelligent hauntings. These were people who were outcasts in life. They were outcast in death, all right? They, despite maybe living or being maybe outside of the law, they had religious beliefs where, you know, that you wanted to be buried and consecrated or in holy ground. And a lot of them wouldn't be, which is why a lot of crossroads have that reputation of being haunted or a place you don't want to be caught at after dark. Because this is where, like I said, if you were living a lifestyle or doing stuff that was not within the, whether not technically legal or outside the morals of the time, they did not want you after death, like, being there. Okay, so that's why I'm saying that, be careful. What? Yeah, I know, I'm the one that almost tripped over it. But anyway, let me tell you something. That name that sounds very similar to mine. That's unusual, plus the spelling on it. And I'm hoping sometimes to come across something like that, which I already did the last time when I was at Fort Drum. I got a name of Josephine, and I found, like, within what, 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I came across a name of Josephine in a very small cemetery like this. And this, I don't consider that name of Josephine to be that common. I like that name, Zeba King, 1927. Okay, Addison, yeah. This is the family plot, I guess. Okay, this is Rowlerson. Okay, that name is that family. Fall. Okay, see, that's interesting. Fall. Again, you know, I might be having somebody communicating saying, hey, this is how I died. or I took a fall and because of the injury, I died. But right here and now, you know, without knowing the specifics of who it is, I have no idea validating. But I think it's significant that I'm in a cemetery and you get words like ankle a little bit while ago, fall. And, you know, I was saying it. People sometimes, you know, you think who falls? You know, yeah, anybody could technically nowadays fall down and die if you hit your head the wrong way or whatever. But back then, you know, when you didn't have emergency rooms, you didn't have fire rescue, maybe if you were lucky you had a doctor, people did die from stuff like that. They took a fall or something like a break, which really in and of itself would complicate. People would get blood poisoning. So yeah, simple stuff like that sometimes would kill people that nowadays you would think there's no way that somebody would die from that. But back then, yeah, they would. They would die from that because, you know, it's the kind of medical care, or and also medical knowledge was not what it was, you know, as far as hygiene. And like I said, you were lucky if, you know, you had a doctor in town. And even then, if it was an emergency situation, that was it. Your number was up, you know. Let's see. Okay, this is an old one. Same thing, same family, Arnold. Something, sunshine of something. So whoever this was, I guess...
Talking.
Are you telling me I'm talking too much? Okay, well, you need to talk then. Go ahead and say something. Yeah, this is definitely that Arnold family. They've got a few family members that are buried here. Okay, see this other area here. That's very nice. Okay. And again, guys, one of the times that if you see me staring off like over here, you'd be surprised how many times I've been out on these cemetery walks and I've got, I'll use the word ghosts, watchers, what I call them, watchers, off on the peripheries. And you usually will stand like this. Like if you pan around, Henry, you see all these trees in the shade area? They will stand in the shadows and they watch you. They watch you walk around. And you know what? The first time that I ever saw that, I thought it was a trick of my eyes, or was it somebody that was real? And I've had that experience once 20 times. And I realized that they are, a lot of them, that they do stand on the periphery of the grounds, usually under trees or in a shaded area where they kind of blend into the darkness almost. And they look at you, they observe you. I call them watchers. And by this, I don't mean watchers like in UFOs. I'm talking that they are actually ghosts, whether they're tied or they understand that they're dead. And they just almost watch you and see what you do. I hate to say it, they're like waiting for you to leave. Because yes, that you do get people who are discarnates who are looking for a sensitive person to communicate with.
Vest,
like now. Vest, okay. Vest, wow. Okay, I know maybe that means something to you, but to me I'm like, meh. But anyway. And then you get the other discarnates, which is like, I just want to do my thing and leave. Get your stuff and go away, you know. And they just stayed out there. And that's why you see me sometimes looking off, especially into the sun, looking to these shadows on these trees. Because by now I know to look for them. And every once in a while you will see a darkness like shift within the shadows under a tree. Especially like that where you have a lot of overhanging branches. And that's what they are. They're watching. They're watching, and you know, for whatever reason, sometimes they just want to hang out. Sometimes, believe it or not, they just here for some reason. They came and they followed their body out during the burial. And they got lost and they just stay out here. And they kind of walk around, and that's why you see sometimes people say, oh, you know, we see people walking around. They're just somewhere along the line, whether willingly or unwillingly, they didn't go into the light and go on their way. And they just hang out the last place that they saw their body, you know, which is the graveyard. And then they hang out. And some of them are almost fearful of being sent away. Even though they think there's got to be something better. But you know what? Hanging out in a place like this that's beautiful and sunny. Okay, for a minute there, I heard some noise, but it's a cow over there. You see them? Yeah, there's a bunch of cows over there. For a minute there, I heard a noise. And I was like, what? And by the way, no, I'm not mistaking the cows for something under there. You could tell this is brushed over there, different. Oh, look at this, Henry.
Eastern.
Okay, see what I said, that Eastern star thing? That's very unusual. That may be reference to that grave of that lady. Look at this, cool. His saddle, or a saddle, okay. And this gentleman passed away not too long ago. And I guess he was into his riding, his horses. And you know what, everybody's really into those, sometimes those memorials that are very costly and beautiful. But personally, I think that speaks so much more eloquently about the person that's passed away and is buried there, because let's face it, you know, that tells you more than just, you know, words on carved on a stone. You see that saddle, you could tell that guy was into horses, maybe cattle, riding, cowboy. Let's see. And, okay. This is an old one, maybe Bernie.
Glass.
You know what? I'm going to look over here because I've noticed that there's some graves that lately they get the pieces of glass and they break them up and they decorate them. And is this one of them? Yes, it is. Last name of Wheeler.
They're marbles.
Marbles, but they're glass, kind of. I'm trying to find here some type of connect.
Contact.
Okay. All right. Is this about you guys? Does this have to do with, since you said glass and contact? Yeah, that's a cow. Look over here. Yeah, look. You see, this is a bit. It's like, I'm telling you, I can see. Come here. I have to laugh, Henry. Pan out and show him. No, guys, I don't have any food. Go away. Can you imagine you're out here after dark and you hear that thing going through the brush, especially if you're not from around here and know there's cows there? Okay, I can see where that would take a few years off your life. Talk about leaving in a hurry. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. Look at that. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay, children, Brandon, Donna, Albert, Leona. Let me tell you something. I'm sorry, I have to laugh, but I could see a lot of people like how fast can I get out of here? All right, guys. And you know what? You might even say, if you want to stretch it a little bit, but the fact that these cows showed up over here, I don't feed them, so it's not like they're going to come to me because thinking I'm going to feed them because they're not familiar with me. Yes, I'm looking at, look at it, it's like, come here. It's like they don't want to lose eye contact with us. Like, hey, yeah, I see them. There they are right there. Like they're coming out of their way to stay in contact with us. Okay. Anyway, it's almost like, you know, that's a cow with her calf, by the way. And there was a bull back there. It's almost like, hey, they know something's up, you know. Again, this is the Sloan family. Yeah, definitely, you know, you've got a lot of family plots out here. And this is a really nice grave over here, Arnold. Okay, guys, I'm going to see one more word. Somebody better point me in the right direction on this. Again, that last name of Rowlerson over there. That, again, from some of the research I've done, that was a very important family that established in the settlements of Central Florida, you know, around this area as far as the cattle business and all that stuff. Yeah, they were here from the beginning. They were like one of the families that came out here like post-Civil War and started up all these little towns, these little settlements that some took off and some didn't. Let's see. Ming. That's very unusual. That's a very nice headstone, by the way. Ming. You could tell. Cattle, farming. Yep. You could tell. These people lived the land. They even had it memorialized on their tombstone. Another Rowlerson. Okay, guys. Let's see. I'm waiting for another word. And if you guys want me to stay, you better come up with something. If not, I'm going to leave. And again, I've said this before in other recordings that I've done when I'm out on these headstones, around these headstones. And it's about, not sundown, we're still a couple, maybe an hour because it's summer. But I say, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, scary stuff, EVPs, all this is nighttime. Again, I go on the fact, see, now they left. The cows are gone. I'm telling you, there was something going on back there that they showed up when I was looking at the saddle, that they all came and came under the brush and they were over here. I'm telling you, there's something there. And I know that's, people think, oh, it's stretching it. No, there was something there going on that they just came over to where we were at. They look well fed too. I don't think it was a food thing. But anyway, and I tell people, you know what? A lot of the discarnates that are on this loop, this time loop, where they are kind of still reliving or trying to capture what their lives were like before they were passed on and they just stuck. They're still on the same timetable as they were when they were alive, which is, it's about this time when people would end their day and start thinking of going home, eating or cooking dinner, preparing. Even though it was summer, it's around this time that people were saying, okay, I'm done. And this is why I come out here, especially at this time, because you do capture sometimes activity of discarnates that are still on that loop, okay? And they kind of like, same thing, get up, go to bed, or are active, or this is the time that they're like more, they're aware, they're coming back, and they're still on, that their activity or shifts or changes from what they were doing during the daytime, okay? And I guess they want me to leave because I haven't said another word. So let's see. One more thing here. Let's take a look at this one. Again, these are memorials which are very personalized. You know, the wooden crosses, the family, you know, they've put down their statuaries. I think, you know, I don't know. To me, I think that's so endearing from a family members, whatever the case might be, that take the trouble to, you know, put all these things to personalize, you know, whoever's buried there. And also the reason why I say this is, you know, some of the graveyards that I've gone to are what they call pauper's graves, or, you know, or now in some cases, now more modern times, you know, the medical examiners, they have these graveyards where they inter people, bodies that are found, John, Jane Doe's, or even in some cases, even when they know who it is, where the families can't even afford to bury them. And, you know, now, especially in modern times, what they do is they cremate the remains and they put them like in a bag, and then they put them down like a tube, and they put like several of them, and it's only a number. And obviously they take DNA and all this other evidence in case somebody ever tries to find who this person was. They can backtrack and find them, but... Nerd. N-E-R-D. Are you calling me a nerd? Yeah, I am. Thank you. Proud to be one. Yay. Been one all my life. But anyway, my point being that when you see where some people as human beings, they maybe lived in anonymity, they died in anonymity, nobody cared sometimes to either claim them or much less even identify them, and they're just a number in some ledger in the medical examiner's office. And then when you see where you have family members that do all this, that's, I think that because I make those comparisons, it's like, that's very sweet. And yeah, if you're calling me a nerd, I take that as a compliment. So anyway, guys, like I said, if you see guys or hear anything behind, around me, please contact me on Facebook, on my website, myamigoschronicles.com. On YouTube, here we go. The mosquitoes are coming out. I would like to hear from, because I have had people that have contacted me and said, you know what, I saw something behind you, or I saw this, and believe it or not, or I even felt, like I say this a lot of times, you don't have to physically see something. If you're sensitive, you do get a sense of something, especially when some of the words come through on the mini ovulus. I'd love to hear from you, okay? And like I said, a lot of times I do live stream on Twitter, on a Periscope, via for Twitter and Facebook, But I've gotten a lot of requests to live stream on YouTube, which I did for the first time today. So I'm going to try to go through all the different avenues. What was that? Wait a minute, Henry. Come here.
What?
I don't know. I'm looking to see if because something just moved up there and it's on a branch. And I'm trying to think, was that a bird or a squirrel?
Yeah,
but I don't know.
It's a squirrel.
Where? Where is it? I don't see it.
Here.
No. Let me tell you something. If that was a squirrel, that's got to be the fastest moving squirrel. There is no squirrel. There is no bird.
It's
Rhea. Rhea. That's giving me a name. Rhea. R-E-H-E-A. I'm telling you. I know this sounds really weird. Because of all the places to see something, I saw something up on that branch. Move like... That's unusual. That's very unusual. That's, yeah, okay. That, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go off in another direction. And something that a lot of people, when they come to these cemeteries or places where people have been buried, kind of totally overlook. A lot of these places, whether the graveyards were placed there almost because the people unconsciously knew or on purpose, they set up what's called guardians or sentinels of graveyards, okay? A lot of times these are non-human entities that are left to guard the dead, okay? And these are sometimes the real dark shadows that you see, unusual heights. Sometimes you see them in places exactly like that where you normally would not see a person, the ghost of a person, which is, you know, and that tells me that might necessarily have a guardian of that type up there because of where I saw it at. Okay. And it's not the first time that I've felt that these guardians, that they look at you from up, you know, like they overlook, they're watching. And that's why you always get these stories of people taking stuff from graveyards and then things happen to them. And that's what those sentinels are for. They're there to make sure that people don't destroy or take things or desecrate the graves. Okay, otherwise you're cool with them. Absolutely, you never antagonize, you never provoke, and you almost, for lack of a better word, and this is a good piece of advice for you guys, if anybody does any visits to graveyards, ignore them and hope they ignore you. Basically, all they're checking out, like I said, is to make sure you don't desecrate any of the graves, but you never want to tangle with one of these things. I guarantee you, you never, ever, 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 ever want one of these things to pick you, because it'll be the sorriest day of your life. And I'm telling you, then your life will become miserable. So, like, make believe I never saw that. Anyway, guys, I'm gonna let you go because on that note, I think it's time to leave. Three. Okay, are there three of you out here? Okay, see? All right. Yeah, okay. I think it's time for Marlene and Henry to leave. And like I said, if you guys see anything, let us know. Take care. Hope you guys enjoy this. See ya.